whatever you want, Allison. It's okay. No, I'm serious. This happens all the time when I have guests in studio. We get into these awesome conversations while the news is on or the commercials are on, and then all of a sudden it's time to go. Oops. And I don't warn anybody. I'm just like, okay, now we go. And then poor Allison's mic is on, and that's okay. Everything's fine. And honestly, say whatever you want.
Well, yeah. I didn't say anything bad,
no,
I don't think.
You absolutely did not. And even if you had, I was taught very early on in this business that you can say anything you want on the radio once.
Really?
Once.
Don't tell her that, Mike.
Because after that, you might not get a second chance.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. The voices you hear are Allison DeMuise. She's the Director of Strategy and Innovation with CMHA Waterloo Wellington. And Helen Fishburne is with us as well, the Executive Director of the Canadian Mental Health Association Waterloo Wellington. And Helen was just telling me, and I was so excited, we get to talk to Helen twice today because she will be joining us on our Kitchener Rangers broadcast tonight at the Odd. Because this is Talk Today in the OHL and
sure
with
is.
The Kitchener Rangers. Yeah. I've been seeing this splashed all over social media. Yeah. So what is tonight all about?
Well, we have this amazing partnership with the OHL, actually across Ontario. CMHA Ontario sponsors the program. Locally, we have amazing partnerships with Kitchener Rangers and Guelph Storm. It's really about promoting mental health wellness. And starting in the hockey world, right? It isn't a place where you would think to start, right? Because you see these young athletes in the prime of their careers and doing incredibly well, but they're under tremendous amount of stress and pressure. We know a few years ago there were some tragic losses due to suicide in the OHL, so we launched this program called Talk Today, which is really about building capacity and awareness and the skill set of these young players and their coaches to deal with life in the OHL. So we provide training called Safe Talk, which is actually a suicide alertness program. And the talk stands for Tell, Ask, Listen, and Keep Safe. So Tell, Ask, Listen, and Keep Safe. We train all of the players. We train all of the coaches. So they have this network of support and they keep their eyes out for each other and make sure they're all okay.
I think this is a tremendous initiative on the part of the Ontario Hockey League. The league's commissioner, David Branch, I extended, at the time of the creation of this program, I extended the kudos, and I would again here, because you touched on it a little bit there, Helen. In this world, in the Ontario Hockey League world, we see these young men who compete their hearts out for their given teams. They're under tremendous pressure, but also one of the things I like about this program and having it connected to the OHL is I think sometimes we don't allow, if that's the right word to use, young men in positions like this, and particularly the young men, to open up, to say...
To be vulnerable.
I'm not feeling so good.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And to really appreciate the stress and pressure that they're on. You know, when there's a winning streak, it's all good, right? But when there's not a winning streak, it is really tough. And there's a high performance anxiety and stress that goes into that, right? So we want to equip these young men and their coaches to be able to deal with that. And it's life. They also do amazing things, Mike. They partner with us. They go into classrooms and they just prepare some of those messages for kids, right? How to deal with life, how to be resilient, how to bounce back when your day doesn't go well. And to have some of these hockey heroes come into your classroom and share that message, it's a profound impact. So we're really excited. We're going to drop the puck tonight in support of mental health. We've got a booth in the lobby at the Odd. We'll be talking to you at the end of the first, which is really, really exciting. So it's just a really great moment to celebrate the work that's being done, but also to continue to say, we got to keep this fight going.
Yeah. You know, and you talk about those hockey heroes, Helen, and I mentioned having seen this splashed across social media. The Rangers have been doing a terrific job with their Twitter feed, their Instagram account, and one of the more recent pictures I saw was the team's co-captain, Riley Damiani, holding up the Talk Today
that
sign.
Awesome.
It is. It's fantastic. And I think this is one of the very best uses of social media. It's such a powerful tool, and it can be used for incredible positivity, but at the same time, we also know incredible negativity. And it's funny, Allison, this just came up in conversation in my household. And the impact that social media in particular must be having on our children today. Like we've got a daughter who's grade 8, so headed into grade 9 next year. Now, I remember that transition as a student. Obviously, you're going from king of the castle in grade 8 to little old grade 9. Mm-hmm. I could not imagine going through that transition in life and also having the mounting pressures that come from social media, where your currency is likes and comments and that sort of thing, right?
Competition. So,
absolutely.
It's a whole different world now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And yet, it's not just our kids' world, it's our world. Because I don't know if you're like me, but I have to admit, it's kind of the first thing I check sometimes in the morning and the last thing I check at night. So, you know, social media has become ubiquitous. It's everywhere. But research does show that it can actually increase feelings of depression, of anxiety, and that fear of missing out. So, what I wanted to talk to you about today is CMHA Ontario has come out with 7 tips on how to manage social media so that it prevents that real feeling of depression and anxiety and that overwhelmingness that sometimes it can create. And this can be found, by the way, on the CMHA www.ca website. So I'd encourage people to go check it out. I think they're great tips. Do you want me to get into them?
I would love to hear them because okay. I try to keep myself cognizant of this because I'm like you. I use social media frequently. I'm probably a mid to heavy user. And I check myself, you know. Yeah. I know they're on vacation, Mike. It's not your turn to vacation yet. And yeah, I know their life looks great, but that's one snapshot.
We're going to talk about that, yeah, because that is a big problem.
Right.
And I think the most important thing is that we're not saying don't engage in social media, because frankly, I think that's almost impossible nowadays. It, you know, really, because it is a productive tool.
Yes.
And it's a productive tool not only in our social lives, but in our work lives. So we're not encouraging people to put it down necessarily all the time, although that one is one of the tips. But in fact, just make sure that you're using it as a tool. So the first tip there is think about your goals. So remember that it is a tool and understand, you know, how you're using it and choose apps and platforms that fit to your goals accordingly. So if you find that you've got apps and feeds coming in that actually are kind of just taking up your time, they're not actually adding to your life, they're not actually building any value, get rid of those. So that's tip number one.
Okay.
Tip number two, which I actually think is really good, is engage, don't just scroll. So if you've probably experienced this before where you just, mindlessly go through stuff, right. So what they're saying is actually take the time, like somebody's post, engage with them, make a comment, or post your own, but don't just sort of be the voyeur. Because the voyeur actually does that passive tendency can actually lead to those feelings of sort of discomfort and that you're somewhat disengaged, which is interesting.
I think that's really neat to hear because I've often said it's called social media for
that's
a reason.
Right.
Let's be social on there.
That's right.
The engagement's important.
Yeah, that's it's there.
Yeah.
It's right there. And actually, I think that's probably the value of it is that there is that sort of conversation that's going back and forth. The third one is to your point. So avoid comparisons. And I can tell you that if you just looked at my life, Mike, on social media, first of all, I always look good in my photos.
Allison, come on now.
Well, we both know that's not entirely filtered.
You're sitting right here. The cameras are on you.
Oh, God. See? But really, truly, I'm always on vacation. I'm always having a blast. And I will let you know, a big secret, that's not always how my life is.
Right.
But you think that about people, right? You sort of, and especially this time of year, how many feeds are you getting that everybody's on vacation right now?
Oh, my gosh. Everybody is on a beach except me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have that FOMO, that fear of missing out. And so avoid even just assuming that, because the reality is people's lives are. I actually would challenge people to put pictures on their social media of like what life
really
looks like.
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
You wake up in the morning. And so the other thing is to share mindfully. So this is really about that idea that be mindful of privacy and safety. So we do think about this. Remember that, you know, when you're representing yourself online, you're representing your kids, you're representing your family, and they will grow up someday and become adults and want to get jobs and things like this. So whatever you're posting about them and yourselves has a lifelong lastingness out there. So be mindful of that and be understanding what privacy and safety kind of looks like, especially when it's not just about you. The fifth one is allow notifications. I love this one. Allow notifications from people, not machines. So you know how you get those pop-ups on your phone? That's like, you know, from you probably get one from the OHL.
Right.
Or from the PGA. Or from news. Has this not been the biggest last few months of news between the impeachment and coronavirus and strikes and all this?
So much going on.
There's so much going on. Make that actually, disable that pop-up and just make your pop-ups be from real people. So somebody's saying, hey, you know, remember to pick up the chicken tonight.
Right.
Like that's a real social media pop-up, not all this
noise that's coming into our lives.
That's interesting, because I did that with my phone, this iPhone thingy, that when you would get a message, it shows up automatically on your screen. I had to figure out how to default, or take away that default setting so that the messages don't always appear on my screen. And it was the most liberating thing I think I had ever done with technology. Because every time you get an email or a text, it doesn't just show up.
Right. So it's very distracting.
Exactly.
Right?
And then it makes you feel, then the FOMO sets in. What am I missing out on while I'm supposed to be doing something else?
That's right.
Getting that off my phone, now I feel like I'm in a little bit more control of
our own lives. Imagine.
Right. I only check what I want to check, not when the phone is telling me there are messages there.
That's right. It's quite liberating. The sixth point is kind of an obvious one, but it's worth stating, and that is this notion of bullying. So what we have to do, bullying is a problem. We know it. We hear about it all the time, especially amongst our kids. We need to address it. So no longer should you passively watch that happen. Some people say, take a screenshot of it, just know about it. If it actually does escalate to something that is illegal, notify the police. Mm-hmm. But at the very least, call it out. So if you actually feel that people are being bullied online, be the bigger person there and say, you know what, that's not right, and address it. Because it is something that we can't, it's like if you were walking down the street and you saw somebody being bullied in front of you, hopefully you wouldn't passively walk by that. You'd actually engage like a good Samaritan. That's the same premise that you should have online. So we need to take an active role in that.
Absolutely.
And the seventh, but most important point is detox. So every so often, take time to unplug. And this doesn't have to mean, like, as I've heard of people saying, oh, we went up to the cottage, we just didn't even bring our phones, we were offline for a week, and that would be ideal. But reality is, even just for a little bit. So one thing that I've told my teenage kids to do is when they're studying upstairs, leave their phone in another room. So even just have it away from you for a while. You know, turn it off. Turn actually the whole phone off for a while, especially when you're going to bed. So that
you're
the light,
tempted.
That's, you're not even tempted. And you know that light, there's science about the light at night that's, you know, when you're getting a notification that's bouncing on, it's ruining your sleep. So turn your phone off at night or turn it over so that you're at least not seeing that light come on, and have a little bit of a break from it.
Yeah, I've tried to do that when I can on weekends, and we just had an experience this past Saturday. Our daughter and I went out, did some shopping on Saturday morning, and we were driving out to see some friends at a shop in North Dumfries and then out to North Waterloo. So we had a bit of time in the car, but I left my phone at home. And my better half got home while we were gone. And then when I got back, she said, can you please take your phone with you in case I need you? I said, I deliberately left it here because I wanted our daughter and I, we're going to talk. We're going to be in the car together. Obviously, if I'm in the car, I don't want it anywhere near me anyway. But, you know, Allison, what I like about what you've just gone through, too, is it's not in any way saying no to social media and social media is evil. What we're really looking at here are ways to kind of manage it. And kind of like I said with the notifications on my phone, taking a little bit more control over it as opposed to allowing it to control us.
That's right. I think that's really the message, because the reality is it's like anything. It's any of our vices in life. It's really just about managing them, right? And figuring out the way that it works for you. I will say, though, that the last point there on unplugging is probably the most important. And I'd almost suggest starting with that, because the reason why I love that is that it's really revealing to people when they have to put their phone away or when they take a little bit of break from it. That instinct that we have to constantly look at it, or really that addiction that we have to that phone from not only our point, but you're right, like people want to get in touch with us and they feel isolated when they can't get in touch with us. And I think it's good to just know that that's okay. And then to realize that and then use the other tools and techniques to get a handle on it. But it may be good for us to just realize how important is that device in our life right now?
Absolutely. Great, great stuff all around. Ellen, one more thing we should touch on before we let you go this morning is Eating Disorders Awareness Week.
Yes.
It's interesting that here we are in February after many of us perhaps in January made a commitment to eating better or dieting or whatever the case may be. How do we strike the balance?
It's a really good question, Mike, and it's a hard balance to strike, especially in light of our last conversation around social media,
right,
where we are constantly bombarded with images around what we should look like at this time of year. Particularly, people should on themselves a lot, right? I should be doing this. I should look like this. I should weigh that. Certainly here at CMHA, we want everyone to embrace their own shape, their own size, their own weight. Don't compare yourself to other people. And everybody is different, and that those differences and those unique qualities are what makes you you, right? So We want people to be mindful of that. Like any mental health condition, eating disorders is on a continuum. So we have people that are just worried and stressed maybe about how they look or how they feel, right through to people who have a really, really challenging and entrenched eating disorders like anorexia or bulimia. At CMHA, we certainly specialize in those, in treatment of those conditions, which are really challenging, right? You have a lot of really entrenched thinking, and people are really, really ill. We have an amazing multidisciplinary team that works with people with eating disorders to really help them work through all the holistic parts of recovery. And people do recover from this illness, so we really want to make sure that there's a lot of, people know there's a lot of hope in recovery. One thing I will say, it's really important, the earlier you can think about your thoughts and feelings around your eating and your weight and your size, the better. We want that consciousness to be there. So we're actually hosting, the Eating Disorders Coalition is hosting an information night on February 12th, so that's Wednesday night. They're having it at our CMHA office in Waterloo, which is on the corner of King Street and Blue Springs. It's from 7 till 8:30. And anybody in the public is welcome just to come, learn, listen, understand, ask questions, and we'll cover the whole continuum of eating disorders. It's a great opportunity, especially if you have teens and young people, because, of course, that's where eating disorders start, to start asking questions and really engaging with professionals on what to think about, what to be aware of, and how to protect yourself around getting a really entrenched condition.
And I think it's important to recognize and reinforce that these resources are available to us in the community through CMHA,
they
right?
Are.
We're not alone, no matter what it is that we're feeling. Be it that, you know, those blues that get a little bit too blue and spiral into depression. We might be struggling with an eating disorder, but there are resources and people available to help us out.
That's right. And through here 24/7, all of those resources are available. There's also a ton of great people out there doing eating disorder promotion work as well, like public health and school boards and family health teams. And there's lots of folks out there that can help you sort out kind of where that sweet spot is to land, when to be worried, when not to be worried. But really, the more we can continue to talk about it, make it conscious, that just helps us in terms of that journey.
I always feel so much better after these conversations.
It's your checkup.
Yeah, it is.
It's your monthly checkup.
Your monthly checkup with
free.
CMHA Waterloo Wellington. They join us at 11:30 on the second Tuesday of every month, and we get twice the bang for our buck today, Helen, because we'll see you at the hockey game tonight for Talk Today.
Hope you don't get sick of
me. Absolutely not. That's impossible. Thank you both for being here with
us
this
morning. Thank you,
Mike. Allison DeMuy and Helen Fishburne from CMHA Waterloo Wellington joining us for this monthly checkup here on the Mike Farwell Show. This is 570 News and Rogers TV.
This hour of the Mike